This is the Empowered Educational Conversations with Elaine and Christina podcast. We are two educators who have worked in over 7 different school districts and want to see change. We are here for our school leaders who have the desire to implement radical changes to fight the destructive nature of racism and injustice. This is a safe space for passionate school leaders and aspiring school leaders to listen in as we voice our concerns, laugh at our mistakes, and strategize ways to overcome adversity as educators, all while keeping it real.
Join us as we share our experience along with other important voices in the field. And don't forget to follow us on social media at Elaine and Christina, where we seek to build community and support one another in this work. While you're there, share this with a friend and colleague, and rate and review this podcast so we could get this to even more school leaders who want to do this work. All right, let's get to this episode. Welcome back to the Empowered Educational Conversations podcast with Elaine and Christina, episode 80. I'm Christina, the co-host of this podcast. This is my 19th year in education. I was a former high school English teacher and K-12 site administrator. I'm currently a teacher coach at a K-12 school district and a K-12 co-school leadership coach and consultant with my homie and business partner, Elaine, right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Hey, y'all. So in our last podcast, Elaine goes solo to honor the life of Next Benedict by offering strategies for school leaders to create inclusive school environments. Elaine doesn't go into detail about the incident, but instead focuses on what can be done in our schools so this doesn't happen again. So with that said, today is also a solo episode. It's just me, Christina. Elaine won't be with us this time, but we'll be back for our next episode. So let's jump straight into this episode. All right. So I'm going to start off with some contextual information. So during March, Elaine and I participated in our former business coach, Kat Del Carmen's Cringe Challenge, where the challenge was asking us to post at least 20 IG posts within a 10-day span. So recently, Elaine and I, we had our quarterly business meeting where we assessed and reflected on our business goals and progress over the past 3 months. One of the ongoing agenda items in our quarterly meeting is assessing our social media analytics, including the number of posts we uploaded, which posts received a certain number of reads and likes, and which ones got the least traction. We also reviewed our podcast episodes, noting the most listened to episodes and those with the least number of listens. So, one glaring data point we noticed was that the IG posts and podcast episodes that received the most interaction, particularly we were looking at the 20 Instagram posts that we uploaded for the Cringe Challenge. So we noticed that the most interactions were the ones featuring guests, discussions about our personal lives, especially if we talked about our kids and our health, or the general school leadership content. However, on the other hand, the posts and podcast episodes that focused on students and families in the Gaza Palestine area received the least amount of engagement. These posts address topics such as advocating for a permanent ceasefire, addressing illegal occupation, and genocide. Now, there are a few possible reasons for this. Firstly, that comes to mind is Meta. So the Meta algorithm may be affecting the visibility of our ceasefire-related social media posts, making them less accessible to our followers and the educational community at large. Additionally, discussing these topics may be uncomfortable for educators, leading to lower engagement as they may not want to delve into to contentious issues. Listen, I'm not claiming to be a social media analytics expert. I just feel compelled to relay our message again. So this is another attempt through this podcast episode, through podcast 8. This episode serves as a call to action for school administrators. It's time, y'all. It's time for us to step up and demand a permanent ceasefire for our global students, specifically in Gaza, Palestine. Okay, so I'm just going to start off with reasons that have been brought to our attention, whether it's, you know, talking to colleagues or messages that we got on our Instagram, and just being in the realm and just like understanding why school leaders may be hesitant to advocate for a ceasefire. So here it is. Here are the reoccurring reasons why the average K-12 administrator may hesitate to speak up for a ceasefire, even if they personally believe in it. Number one, it is our obligation as educators and school leaders to remain politically and religiously impartial. Two, not feeling well-versed in the political and religious history between Israel and Palestine. Three, feeling that the situation between Zionist Judaism and Palestine is quote unquote complicated. Fourth reason, having friends or family members who are Jewish and or Muslim and not wanting to make them feel uncomfortable or possibly even jeopardizing the relationships. And then of course, number five, this one's huge, the fear of being let go, the fear of being fired, the fear of losing your job. So I'm just gonna share my quick 2 cents on each of these reasons. So there was a total of 5 common reasons that we have heard why administrators are hesitant to speak up for a ceasefire. So here's the first one again. It is our obligation as educators and school leaders to remain politically and religiously impartial. Well, my 2 cents to that is, advocating for a ceasefire is actually an impartial act. And I will dive more into this throughout this episode. Second reason, well, I'm not feeling well-versed in the political and religious history between Israel and Palestine. Here's what I gotta say about that. Y'all, at this point, does that shit even matter? Does it matter to understand the political and religious history in order to advocate for human lives, to advocate for children, to advocate for students to stay alive? Third reason, well, the feeling that the situation between Zionist Judaism and Palestine is quote unquote complicated. All right. Number three, this is probably a huge pet peeve of mine. Like, it really irritates the shit out of me when I hear that it's complicated. Like, that's the response. Like, I'm not taking a stand because I just feel like it's complicated. Well, here's my 2 cents. When I hear people say that the situation in Gaza and Israel is complicated, I feel like it's a cop-out, point blank. It's a cop-out, and here's why. It often lacks specificity. By using this phrase that it's complicated, we might be avoiding diving into the nitty-gritty details of what's really going on over there. It's like we're skirting around the difficult conversation, so courageous conversations, and not getting to the heart of the matter. Another reason is it can hide power dynamics. The reality is there are clear imbalances of power and impact in this conflict. Saying that it's just complicated can overlook the disproportionate effects on certain communities and avoid addressing the root causes. Lastly, using this phrase, it's complicated, can sometimes be a way to avoid taking responsibility. It's easy to feel overwhelmed or unsure of how to make a difference, but simply brushing it off as quote unquote complicated doesn't help anyone. We all have a role to play in advocating for peace and understanding. So, real talk, y'all, as school leaders, let's challenge ourselves to move past this cop-out response and really engage with the complexities, power dynamics, and responsibilities involved in promoting a better future for everyone. Okay. Now, the fourth reason, the common response that Aline and I have been hearing. Well, we have friends or family members who are Jewish and are Muslim, and we don't want them to feel uncomfortable. And honestly, we don't want to jeopardize relationships. We get it, right? Our priority should always be the well-being of people affected by conflicts. Advocating for a ceasefire isn't just about politics. It's about standing up for human rights and protecting innocent lives. Sometimes personal relationships can make us hesitant, but we must remember the greater humanitarian imperative. Another reason is, as school leaders, we have a unique opportunity and responsibility to speak out against violence and promote peaceful solutions. It's not just about our personal affiliations. It's about using our influence for positive change. By advocating for a ceasefire, we demonstrate our commitment to moral responsibility and creating a safer world for everyone. And then lastly, number five, once again, the fear of job loss. Yo, it's understandable to worry about job security, especially when taking a stand on sensitive issues. However, it's important to remember that advocating for a ceasefire is not just about personal risk. It's about prioritizing humanity and promoting peace for the greater good. Just imagine if this was happening to you, if this was happening right here in our community, in our country, in our state, in our city. How would you want our global neighbors to respond if your family, your husband, your wife, your partner, your parents, your grandparents, your cousins, your best friends, your kids' lives are at risk? How would you want them to respond? All right, y'all. So, you know, with that said, I do want to touch on our school leader standards. And let me just quickly list through them, and then I'll explain why this connects to everything. So here is a list of the universal K-12 school leader standards we are all supposed to abide by. Number one, educational leadership. Educational leadership involves your vision, mission for academic excellence and student achievement, curriculum and instruction, and supporting professional development for teachers and staff. The second standard is instructional management, which includes evaluations, analyzing student data for next steps, and for decision-making processes, and providing feedback and support for teacher effectiveness. Standard number three, school climate and culture. that includes positive and inclusive school culture, valuing diversity, promoting equity, fostering a safe and supportive learning environment for students, staff, and families, and promoting teamwork and collaboration. The fourth standard is human resources management. Well, you know, that's our favorite. I'm being sarcastic. The whole hiring effective educators and staff, providing ongoing support. Actually, this is my favorite. The whole professional growth and opportunities for all. And then this also includes managing personnel issues and ensuring compliance with employment laws and policies. Followed by standard five, community engagement and partnerships. So this is relationships, relationship building with parents, families, community members, collaborating with community organizations and businesses, and communication, being transparent and inclusive with all your community members, because you guys are all working towards the same goals, initiatives, and student progress. Standard six, operational and resource management. So school budget, finances, technology. Number seven, ethical leadership and professionalism, which involves modeling ethical behavior, professionalism in all interactions. Once again, upholding legal and ethical standards related to education and student rights. And then once again, this professional learning and development tends to be in multiple, applicable to multiple standards. So listen, y'all, the reason why I'm bringing up our universal seven standards as K-12 school leaders is because I want to share how advocating for a ceasefire aligns with our K-12 school leader standards. I mean, they align with all seven, okay? Like if we really want to nitpick, they really align to each and every one. However, I do want to just focus on four because these are the four that it's just super obvious that these are the four standards that support a call to action, a call for a ceasefire. So the first one is standard one, educational leadership. Advocating for the safety and well-being of students and staff aligns with the vision of academic excellence and promoting a conducive learning environment free from disruptions. Standard three, school climate and culture. Creating a safe and supportive school culture that values peace, empathy, and conflict resolution contributes to fostering a positive learning environment. Standard five, community engagement and partnerships. Engaging with the community and promoting peace, y'all, and understanding reflects a commitment to collaboration, the community well-being, and global citizenship. And then lastly, standard seven, ethical leadership and professionalism. Demonstrating moral duty and ethical leadership by prioritizing the safety and well-being of all community members, advocating for peace and upholding principles of humanitarianism and global citizenship. So a couple of weeks ago, I posted a call to action that barely got any engagement, barely got any traction. It was a call to action to all school leaders to write to their school board or contact their school board members and superintendent to advocate for a permanent ceasefire. So Alina and I, we are coming together in solidarity for peace and humanitarianism, right? Standard 7. And with that said, we're sharing with you in that post, which is still there, it's still linked to our bio, ready to go templates for educators and parents who are urging their school leaders, their school districts, to take a public stance and advocate for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. So once again, these templates are crafted to align with our values as a humanitarian duty, educational focus, and global citizenship, while emphasizing the importance of remaining impartial in political matters. These are valuable tools that can help us mobilize our educational communities and stand together as a force for peace and safety. So once again, y'all, if you're if you tap into our IG page and go click into our bio, we have two templates. One for educators, so school leaders, teachers, counselors, you name it. It's a template ready to go for you to write to your superintendent and school board. You just need to plug in your name and applicable names there, and you're ready to go. As well as we have a parent template, same thing. So it's advocating for a ceasefire from a parent, from a community member stance. We're going to leave those there for a while. We're going to leave those there until a ceasefire happens. And best believe I'm going to continue to talk about this until there is a ceasefire. So please feel free to share these templates with anyone. Let's unite as an educational community to advocate for a ceasefire now and make meaningful impact in the lives of our students and communities. So I want to end this podcast episode by reading one of the templates we have linked to our bio that we are pleading for our school leaders to use or not use. I mean, basically, we just want you to advocate for a ceasefire, and we just want it to make your life easier and already have a template ready to go. So here it is. Here is the content in the template. Dear Superintendent, I am writing to urge our K-12 school board to take a stance and advocate for a ceasefire in Gaza. While school district and educators must remain impartial regarding political parties and conflicts, advocating for a ceasefire is inherently impartial. It aligns with our core values as educators, including humanitarianism, safety, and global citizenship. Here are three compelling reasons why our school board, why our school district should support and call for a ceasefire in Gaza. Number one, humanitarian duty. As stewards of education and community leaders, we have a moral duty to prioritize the safety and well-being of our students, staff, and communities. Advocating for a ceasefire in Gaza demonstrates our commitment to protecting innocent lives and promoting peace. Number two, educational focus. Schools should be safe havens for learning, free from the disruptions and traumas of armed conflicts. By calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, we contribute to creating a conducive educational environment where students can thrive without the fear or distraction of violence. And lastly, global citizenship. Our role as educators extends beyond the classroom. We have the opportunity to teach students about empathy, conflict resolution, and the importance of seeking peaceful solutions to international disputes. Advocating for a ceasefire in Gaza aligns with our vision to nurture responsible global citizens who value peace and understanding. Please consider this urgent appeal. The lives and existence of our Palestinian students depend on it. So, y'all, school leaders, we wish you well, and Alina and I wish you well. We hope you consider standing with us as we advocate for our global children and students.
We hope you enjoy this conversation. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Alina Christina. Check out our content and engage in a conversation with us through the comments or DMs.
Also, please help us grow and share this with your friends, colleagues, as well as post on your social media. We look forward to next time. Take it easy.